Well, hello everyone. Welcome to Tefito's Tech Talk. This is a live show where we help your IT business grow. So let's get started then. So my name's Phil Griffiths. This is Jenny.
The boss.
And she is the boss, believe it or not. So there we go. Right, first of all, if people in chat can let us know if they can see us and hear us, that would be amazing. Otherwise, it's going to be a boring conversation because we've got nothing to talk about otherwise, have we?
No,
definitely not. So yeah, definitely let us know if you can hear and see us. So we've got Computer Solutions Wales watching. We've got Evening for Inverness. If you are a Facebook user as well, Facebook is still broken where it's not telling us who your names are. So make sure you actually went in the comment with your name. So obviously if your name's Bob, say your name's Bob from Bob's Computers or whatever. We've got Dan saying evening all loud and clear. That's good. We've got Richard Overfield again saying loud and clear, Rich Creedy, and so forth. It seems that everyone can hear us. And we've got Gadget Joe as well. Hi, Gadget Joe. And yeah, we understand what you're saying, Richard. So that's fine. So, right, let's get on with the show. So, Elliot, I'm going to start with you first. If you want to introduce yourself, let everyone know who you are, what you do, what your position is, and a little bit about the company you work for.
So I'm Elliot Hodgen. I'm the sales director at VIP Computers. We're a UK-based distributor in Warrington. And I'm the sales director there. So I've been there for, Feb 2016. So just over 8 years. Yeah, my role is to basically, if it goes well, it's all the team's benefit. And if it goes badly, then it's my fault. That's generally the way it tends to work. But no, it's basically managing the sales side. So for all our customers, right through from your independent retail stores all the way up to the retailers and the big e-tailers and the Amazons of the world, really. So I manage the various different channels within that. And in terms of VIP, I mean, we're independent. We've got one site in Warrington, which most of the people on the stream will probably know. We were born out of a components background back in 1990. We've added things like gaming into our arsenal best part of 10 years ago. And then probably more recently into monitors and audio visual, more of a corporate aspect as well. And then probably moving in towards the smart home side as well. So we're quite, the aim is to continue to expand our portfolio of products for the customers that we serve, really. And as the technology world moves into away from things like floppy disks and CD-ROMs, right?
So that's right. Yeah, that's absolutely brilliant there. And yes, Rich, he did swear. He said the A word, apparently. And hi, from there. Hi, D-Tech Steve as well. Right. And hi, Trish at Target. So talking about Target, let's go on to Victoria next. So Victoria, if you want to introduce yourself, let everyone know who you are, what you do, and a little bit about Target.
Wonderful. Thanks, guys. Good evening, everybody. Victoria Ward Watts, Target Sales Director. I've been with the company about 18 months. Previously worked in the federal security sector for 20 years. Shush, don't tell everyone. And Target is a business. Yes, we're independent. We're 25 years old and we're just about to celebrate our 2-year anniversary as an employee-owned trust. Very much interested in components and providing our customers with products and specific to the environment that we're all in. But we major on some exclusive brands. We do build for people, and generally my responsibility for the organisation is to make sure the customer journey goes as well as we anticipate it will, and generally keep customers happy and serviced and well looked after.
Okay, that's pretty good. I think that pretty much answers the question. And we've also got Sean tuned in from Broly IT. Hi Sean, I hope you're doing well. Right, let's go on to probably the guys that less people have probably heard about. Even though they've been going around a few years, they're probably sort of making a push in the last few months. So if you guys want to introduce yourselves, so, and obviously tell us a bit about Origin and tell us why there's two of you on the show to start with.
Yeah, cheers, Phil. This is Stuart, MD at Origin Storage. Got Hits to my left. Is our gaming development director. As Phil says, we're completely new to the show. This is our first time, so thanks for having us. Origin's been going around 24 years now. I started off there as a junior sales guy, worked my way up, and I think I just outlasted everyone else, and now it's my ship to steer. So been a great time, great business. Come a long way since we started. obviously, as MD, responsibilities are making sure the business is running well. Everyone's happy, customers are happy, staff are happy, making sure we've got the right products on board, keeping vendors happy as well. And we've been around, as I say, 24 years, primarily in the VAR space, the reseller world, B2B. And it's only been very recently, towards the end of last year, we decided that actually, you know, gaming is a massive industry and we should try and apply the level of the customer services and brands that we've already got on board and try and apply that to the consumer side of the world. Hence why HITS has joined the business, and we're looking to grow, you know, grow that section as quickly as we can do with the right brands, but keeping that customer service on point. So that's us, really.
Right, thank you very much. I think that pretty much clears it up. Let me just turn the chat back on so people can obviously comment. So let's quickly go through. One or two people have mentioned about Victoria's audio being slightly out of sync. Not much we can do about that, unfortunately, but hopefully you can hear her okay. Just close your eyes when she's talking. You should be fine. No offence there, Victoria or anything. But
that
sounds a bit bad, doesn't it? So we've got Russell George in the house as well from Lexar. And we've also got the PC guy, I'm presuming that's Jay, saying good evening all. And yeah, that was also Lexar as well, Russell George. So thank you for tuning in, guys. Right, first of all, before we go any further, I'm going to get Jen to go through the tech news for you. Only take a couple of minutes. After that, we're going to have basically, well, it's a free-for-all. I want you all to ask these guys some questions, make them quite generalized, though, so something what they all can answer, so something pretty generic, so like the usual one, do you need to be VAT registered or something like that, or what's their view of Amazon, or so a few things. I do have one or two preset questions which we'll go through as well. If you've got any questions, start them coming. Make sure you comment with your name and obviously company name afterwards, and we'll give you a shout out as the questions come in. So, Jen, if you want to go ahead with any news you've got.
Oh, it's my turn.
Yes. You can talk now.
That's good. Anyway, this won't take long, but I just wanted to bring you up to date on TechMax. I mean, it's right around the corner. We are skating into it on thin ice. You might say we've only got, like, I think, two stalls available before we have to open the overflow.
Pretty much on the overflow now, yeah. We just went on.
We kind of have promised those, but they're not, you know, totally solidified, you might say.
Yeah,
but we're gonna have to go into the overflow area, so you won't be able to really pick your spots. But do sign up. That's not to discourage you. Anyway, we have a lanyard sponsor. Yes, Amazonsoft is going to sponsor our lanyards. So when you go and you pick up your lanyard, you're gonna have Amazonsoft around your neck. Thank you, Davlet, for helping me out with that. I really appreciate it. Our other sponsors include Case King, our main sponsor, Aerocool for launch, Strong for the awards. Your trophies will have Strong on them for them being the sponsor. Iyama is our digital sponsor. We're going to have big Iyama monitors all around the place, either showing you where you're going, maybe even where you are, maps of the place, all sorts of menus, presentations will be held on, is it 84-inch? 86-inch monitor. I don't know how we're going to get it there, but we're going to give it the old college try. Also, PAX 8, thank you for being one of our sponsors. Special guests include, but not limited to, PCR, Kim Guru, who will be giving a talk, Gadget Joe, Tech Hut, Welsh Tech, iDoctor, Business Bollocks, who will be giving a talk, Hammond & Co., who's going to be giving a talk as well, and Battle of the Distributors is another talk, and Tech Roundtable is another talk. So we're going to have a lot of talking going on. I mean, it's a big buzz, TechMax is. Everybody's all excited that has IM'd me this week. I had Allison from EADR check on me and see if I was holding up with everything about going on. And I told her, I said, you know, it's just one of those wigs. But yeah, everybody is calling me in a panic, signing up at the last minute. So if you want to sign up to Protect Max, it's still not too late. Please, please, please don't leave it too late. info@techfortex.co.uk. I'll get Phil to put that up for you.
Yeah, I'll see that on the screen in a second.
Yep.
Okay, and that's pretty much it. And obviously you can see a list of the exhibitors there as well, and there's still a lot more to be announced as well as we get closer to the event. Some pretty big ones, as well as some more media and influencers as well, and sponsors. But as you can see, we've got a pretty big list of exhibitors. We've already got more than was at last year's event. On top of that, let me just swap screens. Don't forget, we've got the Tech Awards going off. I'll put the link on the screen again in a few seconds. So if you want to vote for people in the Tech Awards, you can vote for techs, vendors, or distributors. So let's just say you wanted, let's pick a distributor that's not on the show tonight, so it doesn't seem like we're biased. Let's say you wanted to vote for i3i Distribution as best distributor, you could do. If you want to go for best gaming distributor, you could go for, let's say, Novatech. And best refurbished tech, you could pick someone like ALM Wholesale. So you've got lots of different options on there. We've already had record numbers of votes already. And I'll put the links on the screen. They'll flash across the screen in a few seconds as we carry on with, obviously, the show. So let me get that screen off and go back to where we were. Right, here we go. So, I don't like that big screen of both of us. Let's get smaller. There we go.
You read my mind.
There we go. Oh, it's a lot better. There we go. Let me turn the chat back on as well and go through that, and then we can get on with the rest of the show as I put on those links for people. So the TechMax links is at the bottom of the screen, and you've got the email address as well if you need to contact us, and there's a QR code right in front of my face. That's ideal, Clayton, to
there. You go.
So if anyone wants to scan my face, there you go. You'll be able to. Right, okay. So let's get on with that. So let me just get rid of that QR code because that is a little bit distracting. Right, okay. So let's go back to the chat. So we got Enos Tech saying he's looking forward to the event. So we got Random Swallow, I think that is, saying hi. We've also got Gadget Joe saying evening, Ben. Richard from Welshy Tech. Stephen Grant from Computer Solution Wales will be there. We've got Ken at Cranny Clever. Big shout out to Victoria for the assist with the, I always get the pronunciation of this wrong, but is it Dashu quotes? The folding screens are amazing. And I'll go for the rest of the chat in a few minutes. But let's get on with them.
We've also got OCPC commenting. Evening there, OCPC. You'll see them at TechMax.
Yep, so they'll be there as well. So, right, let's get on with the main part of the show then. So, right, okay. So, I'm going to start off with one of the questions I've got in. It always gets asked, so we might as well get it out of the way. Right, I'm going to start off going clockwise. So, let's start with Elliot first. So, Elliot, do you have to be VAT registered to buy a VIP?
Well, unless something's changed in the last week, no. My understanding is that you only need to be VAT registered at a certain threshold, and we don't have a certain level of customer that we would or wouldn't deal with. So as long as you're a registered business, you're fine.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. What about yourself, Victoria? Do you need to be VAT registered to buy at Target?
Absolutely, duplicate response. No, you don't need to be VAT registered. We are VAT registered, so we do charge VAT, regardless of your own status. But yeah, it's not something we're looking for as a criteria.
That's pretty good. And we'll pass the same question over to Origin. I'll let you two fight over between yourselves who wants to answer the question. But do you need to be VAT registered?
No, not at all. Same as the other guys have said, we'll deal with any customer whatsoever. As Victoria said, we have to charge VAT because we are VAT registered. Obviously, the benefit of being VAT registered is you can claim back that VAT. Otherwise, you're going to lose that money as you can't claim it back yourself. So it's worth doing, but obviously there's benefits either way. So up to the customer.
Well, that's true. And then also a tip there for anyone who isn't VAT registered, who's thinking about it. If you do go VAT registered, you potentially could get more customers because you'll find that a lot of businesses will only work with people who are VAT registered. So that's something for you to think about. Again, I'm not pushing you that way, but it's definitely something to think about. Right, okay, so let's have a look. So what questions we got coming in? So we got a question from Robert saying, for Target and VIP, how much would you rate the quality / faulty returns rate for goods over the last 5 years or so? Better from our point of view. So I'm guessing he's basically saying, how's your return rate? Well, we'll ask Origin as well. I don't know why I don't want to talk to you guys, but we'll ask you guys as well.
How would you find
return rates of products these days? Do you find that the better, as in you're not returning as many things, or what? Well, we'll go to Victoria first, because we asked Elliot first last time.
Thanks, Dad. I think for me, obviously not been in Target particularly long time in comparison to my colleagues on the call tonight, I can see definitely some improvement. I think there's still some work to do with returns and repairs. I think it's something that we all should collectively review on a regular basis. Are we doing what we've always done and therefore getting the same things out of it? So yes, I think we're getting better at things. I think feedback is really important to our vendors. When things go wrong, you know, are we identifying things that are similar? Are they the same? Are we seeing the same issue over and over again? It's really important that we share that with our vendors to make sure that, you know, product development happens on the strength of making improvements. So generally, I think, yes, we are making some improvements. I think it's something we should all take a part of and keep it on the agenda, because I think if we keep looking at these kind of things, we're only delivering improvements for our customers and their own customers as well.
Okay, that's pretty good. Right, we'll ask you guys as well, Origin. So what's your views on returns? Do you find them better these days than they used to be, say, 5 years ago?
I don't think it's any better or worse, to be honest. I think you go through patches with certain products, so something that the gaming side can relate to as well as the corporate side that we're used to is SSDs, for example. You can go years without any problems whatsoever with an SSD with a particular build, and then all of a sudden you can get a bad batch where there's a bit of code in it that's wrong, and you can have a huge volume of them affected. But it's important that, you know, we rectify that and we trace all of our serial numbers so we can identify if there's a batch issue. As soon as those first couple of SSDs start to come through with faults, we make sure we're very proactive on identifying, is it just a one-off? These things fail, right? They're designed, they don't last forever. They do wear out, they're not a hard drive. So we're very proactive in ensuring we capture those potential issues very quickly to avoid any potential customers, you know, being affected in a wider community. So it happens and we deal with it as quickly as we can do, for sure. But I think in general, products are getting stronger, more reliable. People are paying a lot more attention to the quality that goes into them. I think people are getting smarter now, and that initial bubble of getting everything cheap on Amazon has probably faded, and people have realized that you pay for what you get these days. That's where we're at.
Right, okay, that sounds pretty good. And then to Elliot.
I must confess, returns are a bit of a nightmare for us at the moment, so we're probably not seeing that. But I suppose the reason for that is, I sort of touched on VIP and where it sits, and we've got such a vast array of products and such a vast array of customers that it really depends on what we're selling a lot of and where we're selling it. So what we've seen over the last 12 to 18 months is, I'm sure most of the people in the chat will be aware of some of the challenges that some of the big channel customers have had of late. And so what we've seen is a migration of that business away from those customers into the likes of retail and Amazon. And of course, when it moved into retail and Amazon, what do you get? A lot more returns. So our return rates are often not necessarily indicative of the product itself. And secondly, if we sell a lot more networking often tends to have higher returns because it's a solution-based thing. And if it doesn't solve your problem, you just return it, because there's an expectation that if I buy this mesh product or this dongle or this router extender, it's going to solve my problem. Whereas with a motherboard, you tend to know what you're getting, right? So it's very difficult for me to answer that just based on, it really depends on which specific area. For us, returns is a hot potato now, because it's giving us from a bottom line perspective. But that doesn't mean that the returns rates are necessarily worse. It might just be the nature of what product is selling well at that time or where it's going to. But yeah, the more that we can sell to the people in the chat, we tend to find that returns rates are better with you guys, because you tend to know what you're buying. You tend to be a bit more expert on the thing that's coming in the first place. So, yeah, long may that continue. It's great that they're seeing better rates on the products. That's great for us and great for them. So.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. I think that pretty much answers that question. I'm going to go to, well, let's just say hi to Kelly from Target as well. She just posted on there. Don't worry about the dual posting, OCPC. I'll go through your comment in a few seconds. I'm going to one because this got asked a few times before the show, is what is everyone's thoughts on Spire selling to West Coast, or West Coast, should I say, buying Spire? Do you think it's a good thing for the channel, or do you think it's potentially a bad thing for the channel? And I'm going to go to Team Origin first this time. So what are your views on a West Coast buying Spire?
Yeah, didn't see that coming. That is for sure. Can understand why, reading the sort of reasons why they've given on the IT Oxygen, I saw it on actually, around, you know, the components piece of the channel being red hot and then wanting to get a share of it. I think we were chatting about this earlier in the office. We think it can go either way. You know, you've got the mammoth buying power of West Coast. They're a £3.6 billion distributor. So they're going to increase the buying power of Spire in terms of their stock holdings and their cash flow availability, customer reach, credit facilities, all those lovely things. But at the same time, we've seen it in our, you know, historic, in like resellers and VARs, where smaller distis have been taken by bigger ones and the service level drops off because they've got too much red tape to go through. The processes are a lot different. That service element drops off and all of a sudden you can't deal with them as easily as you used to be able to. And therefore the business does go down. So it could go either way. It depends how it's managed. It really does, you know, as is everything in life, but fingers crossed it goes well for them. Absolutely. Competition is healthy, right? For all of us.
Okay, that's good. Good answer there. Now, Elliot, we'll go to you next. So what's your views on the situation?
I don't really know. I suppose they're both very good at what they do. Spire are excellent, and we often come up against them in terms of quality service. The products that they often offer are very similar to VIPs. So, you know, I know Mike and I know the work that they do there, and we respect that. I think they're really good at what they do. Let's be honest about it. So if it's that, but with a better product offering, then it's only a good thing for the channel because it's bringing what Spire do well, but with a bigger backing. And equally West Coast, I think when I joined VIP, they were probably a 900 million or £1 billion business. And now they're, as Stuart mentioned, well into the multi-billions, right? And now the biggest distributor in the UK. So they're obviously doing something right. And on our retail side, we see West Coast doing a great job there. So you're taking two strong distributors, I think, do a really good job for the channel and bring them together. So in principle, it should work. But as the guys at Origin said, we often find that acquisitions and mergers have teething problems and challenges, and they're going to have to overcome those like anybody, right? And hopefully that doesn't impact the channel, but in principle, it should work well, right? It's two good distis coming together. So I suppose it's the wait and see.
Well, that's a good reply there. And let's go to Victoria. What's Victoria or Target's view on this?
I think very similar to the colleagues on the call. It's incredibly early days. The Twitter sphere in our own world is pretty hot on this. I think from our perspective, you know, everything that Elliot's just said really resonates with us. Two very credible organisations. They're invested in making it work for themselves. They've clearly demonstrated that. You know, it seems churlish or silly to kind of expect them to kind of want to do something wrong to upset their existing audience. I think from a consumer perspective, a user perspective, these kind of things can be good things. It improves all our opportunities for competitiveness. You know, when you bring two big organisations together, there are so many advantages to that. And I think, you know, it's obviously when you read the press releases, etc., they've got a strategy. It's just really, from my perspective, watching that strategy come through. The marketplace generally has been very disrupted over the last few years. We've seen lots of changes. My stand on this is that change is the constant that we'll see for a number of years just yet as well.
Okay, nice one. Just to round that question up, we are in the process of trying to get Spire on the show next month, aren't we, at some point? So obviously they'll be able to answer a lot of the questions regarding this. Again, it's got to be finalised yet, but we're there's a bit of a delay in communications because the person who we deal with, I think, is in China at the moment.
Yeah, Mike is on his way back from China, and he'll speak to me when he gets back, and we'll arrange a show sometime in the near future, and then we'll take all your Q's and A's about it from there.
Okay, nice one. Right, okay, so I think that one covers that question. Let's go through to chat. Do you want to read this next question, Jen?
Sure. My worry is that service level will drop as I am VIP a few years ago when independents were treated pretty poorly. VIP have since redeemed themselves, I might add. And we had a great relationship with VIP again. And that's Dean Smart at Computers UK Limited.
So. Okay. So they've actually, it was more of a statement than a question. But, well, it looks like obviously VIP obviously went through the similar sort of thing and a few issues. But it looks like you've gained his trust back there, Elliot. So I think you've done well there. So, right. Okay. So, okay, so we've got another one about administration now. So what do you guys think of Box's administration and how it's affected you guys, if at all? And we'll go back to Elliot on this one.
Yeah, it's a nightmare. Let's not beat around the bush. He's taking one of the biggest retailers and no longer around, right? Or certainly going to be around in a different format. And there's a lot of good people who've then lost jobs as a result of that. We've got, I sort of touched it with the returns piece before. We've seen a consolidation in the channel, which is not ideal, where, you know, Tactus came in and there was a number of companies that almost came under that umbrella with CCL and Chill Blast and Box. And then when all of them get taken through this same challenge, you're taking three of VIP's customers or four, if you include BIST as well, and all of them then have challenges. And that's not necessarily a criticism of anything other than just the market. But when one goes down, they all go down, right? So what we end up with is less customers. And less customer, I want competition. I want the end user to have lots of options. And also for us, we don't want all our eggs in the retail basket or in the Amazon basket. We want these independent channel customers, the ones who know what they're experts in this sector that specialize in computers and technology and components. So yeah, it's not good. And I feel for the people that have found themselves caught in the middle of it, especially some of the really good employees they have there as well. So yeah, not great. And hopefully the new bots can rise from the ashes. We look forward to working with them, really.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. Let's pass that on to Victoria. So what's your views on bots?
Yeah, very similar, unfortunately. I have to say that there's a danger of folks going second and third in these kind of conversations. So sorry, Elliot, I'm going to have to paraphrase some of what you've said.
You're free.
Thanks. The reality is it's really sad to see such as organisations stumble and fall like that, in particular for the individuals that are involved. So, you know, it is a massive change in the sector. It would have been better for a lot involved for that not to have been happening. There are some economics out there that we all face. The cost of the rising cost of everything that we're looking at is, it doesn't matter the size of your organisation, we're all affected by that. So it is really sad to see organisations go. In terms of where we want to see, I think competition is healthy for all of us. It's a marketplace where we can collectively present products and have some future with our customer base. So I don't think we'll see the last of them by any stretch of the imagination. They're obviously coming back through. For my part, is we want to work with as many people as possible. We want to do our job, which is provide good customer experience and good products. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it's sad to see it, but it is unfortunately inevitable in the current market, and we might see one, unfortunately. And so, yeah, I think it will happen, or continue to happen. And not just in our sector, guys, there are lots of others. You look at the demise of the retail environment over the last 5 years. You know, we had, I think it was Ted Baker just in recent weeks have gone under. This is happening in lots of areas, in every brand. And it's not to say that, you know, it's poorly managed, et cetera. It's economic sometimes. And, you know, we've just got to, kind of find our own path.
Okay.
I just read
that's, I think that answers that one. Yeah, definitely. So, and to the Facebook user, has Origins feed dropped out? I think they just like sitting still, guys. So, but we'll do the same question to them. What's your views on Box going into administration?
Again, to echo the previous two statements, I mean, having only just got into gaming, our only interaction was literally Hitch joining and kind of filling us in on who the key players are in the market and how Tactus swooped in and amalgamated these big companies together. And, you know, the size of them together was a huge force. And, you know, in some respects, thankfully, we hadn't traded with them at that point. So we didn't feel the brunt of any losses and what have you. And again, it's really sad to see that many people have been there a long time and built a really strong business, you know, being made redundant as a result of that merger and, you know, whatever happened in the back rooms to make it happen. But, you know, it is unfortunate, but great to see they've been brought out and someone's managed to rescue them. You know, we saw the same thing in the VAR industry with Misco. They went into liquidation a long time ago, and someone's come back and brought them back, and that brand is now very, very strong and healthy and operating very well. So, you know, it's hopefully the same thing is true with the guys at Fivetech. They can bring it back.
Okay, so that's a pretty good answer to that question. Those of you who are asking questions, I will try and get through all of them. I've got a big list and they're still coming in. If you don't see the chat on the side, it's because someone's started putting some, rude comments in there. So I've turned off the live chat on the side, but I'll pop up the questions when I need. So feel free to chat between yourselves if you wish. Right, okay, so next question I've got. So let's take the question back to the companies we're actually interviewing at the moment. So how long does it take to set up a trade account? And do you offer credit facilities if needed? And we'll start off with Victoria. So how long does it take to set up a trade account? And do you offer credit facilities?
A couple of steps need to be taken. We typically get through a trade account in the same or next working day, so within one working day. Regarding credit facilities, it obviously differs on a case-by-case scenario. Some customers actually don't want to take a line of credit, and that's good, you know, for flow and pay for things at point of sale, that kind of thing. So we're open to what people are looking for. When we do have requests for credit accounts, we follow similar principles to everybody else on the call, I'd imagine. We do credit checks, we use reputable kind of background companies and generally are guided by those. So yeah, it's a fairly easy process. There's a little bit of to and fro in with regards to, you know, we've sent you the details, double check them, that kind of thing, but generally very, very quick process.
Okay, thank you. Let's go over to Origin. So Origin, how long does it take to set an account up with yourselves? And do you offer credit facilities?
I feel, yeah, we offer credit facilities, but I think on my point of view is when visiting customers, literally sat next to a couple of customers I've visited already to set accounts up with us. It's literally the whole process has taken us around 30 minutes to set up on the same day. So within 10 minutes, once they fill in the application form, I send it over to one of our gaming support help desk, and they'll literally put everything through. And within 30 minutes, the whole process is done on the same day whilst I'm sat next to customers. So I think that's amazing in terms of, you know, previously working at other distributors, and that goes a long way for me personally in terms of getting the accounts to help within that quick amount of time. And it's just great to do that now on my point of view. So, I mean, joining Origin and to see that happening as well, it's really great to see, to be honest. On my point of view.
Okay, that's a pretty good answer on that one. So, Elliot, can you beat 30 minutes?
No.
maybe if I start next to him.
You just sold me short there, Hits. No, it tends to be... Yes, it would, yeah, ordinarily be same day, but obviously it comes in at 4:35, or if there is some like technicalities, if the address doesn't match and stuff like that. But like Victoria said, I would say within 24 hours. If it comes in the morning and it's a fairly simple application, it should be done that day. Worst comes to worst, it'd be the following day, and if there might be any pushback questions or something doesn't marry up. In terms of credit, we do offer credit, but of course it depends on the business. So Yes, we have multiple credit accounts, but we can't guarantee that every account that comes in will get credit for understandable reasons.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. Next question then. Do you want to ask this question, Jen? So it's up on the screen now.
When it comes to a brand trying to find a distributor, what is the...
question.
Okay, what is the question? And do you prefer a full pitch on first contact or just an intro?
Okay, so basically it looks like OCPC is basically saying if they're a vendor and they want to obviously contact a UK distributor to distribute the stuff, how would you prefer obviously to be contacted? Would you like a full pitch or like a person-to-person or just an intro from someone else? So I can't even remember who went first last time. I think it was Victoria, so we'll go to Origin.
Yeah, good question. I'm not sure there is a right answer. I think everyone's different, to be honest. I know from personal experience, I've been hit with very many cold calls recently asking if I'm okay. This is a sales call. Shall we hang up now? I choose the option of yes and hang up and move on with my day, thankfully. I think from a vendor point of view, though, a quick intro, it's good to see what people have got. You've got to get someone interested in the product. So show them a little bit about it, but nothing too long-winded is what I would say. Reaching out on LinkedIn, maybe with some links, so I can see the product, have a browse of the website maybe and see the content, see, you know, what you've got at my own pace rather than having to go through a huge email and be prompted constantly. And then just, I think, remaining persistent. You know, typically when you're trying to approach a new distie, you're aiming for someone in a senior position, probably pretty busy. I know we all are. So it's that persistence, I think, more than anything as well, making sure your message is getting through. That's the only way I would approach it.
Okay, right. I think that's a good answer there. What about yourself, Elliot?
Yeah, if you send me a full presentation on first intro, I'm probably going to ignore it, if I'm being brutally honest. So short, to the point, what is it? What's the brand? What is it you're trying to... what is he trying to achieve in the UK market, and why would you need VIP? And then we can review it. And then on the back of that, if it's of interest, then of course we can break into a more in-depth conversation. We can organize a call and go through the deck and that sort of thing. But I would recommend initially probably make it fairly short just so we can get the key parts.
Okay, sounds pretty good. What about yourself, Victoria, on that one?
Yeah, I think for me, making sure that, you know, what's in it for me question is answered fairly early on in any connection. Networking's great across the industry. I'm really enjoying my time in this sector. I've met some really great people so far, but, you know, that whole, we've all got something to sell, whether it's our own brands or products that we're promoting on behalf of others. I think it's really important to kind of get to that fairly quickly in the equation. I'd be very similar to the guys. I've not got the time for the full sales pitch, but if you get through the gate, you get through the gates, but you've got to put some effort in to get through the gate as well. Generally, I give people probably three strikes. And if we get through the third and I've finally got some interest, I'll probably have a conversation with them. But I think that's also important for us as well as the community, that actually when we do have the opportunity, is that we do give new brands time, and they might have something that they can offer us that is really interesting. So I do think we should all leave some space in our networking schedules to kind of have a look at the new stuff that's coming through and make sure that we're not missing out. In particular, if people are looking for distribution, you know, that means they've got something that perhaps might benefit our customers, and we are actually gatekeepers at that point. So I think we take on a bit of a responsibility, so it's always good to hear what other people are doing.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. I think that covers that one there then. So let's go on to the next question then. So actually, let me just cover that one. I always find, because we're sort of in a situation a bit like a vendor where we have to meet people and so forth, and obviously we need to get people on board to come to our events, get product reviewed, or even come onto the show. Well, I always find in person is usually the best way of doing it, obviously. I'm going to push TechMax here. You're going to be at TechMax, as you already know. Anyway, that's going to be the prime opportunity to meet multiple people at each of these companies. So you'll be able to get your name through to about four or five people in one go at each brand. So going to events, whether it's ours, if it's like the PCR Awards or SITS, what else is the Channel Live and so forth. If it's any events like that, I recommend you basically go to them and just
even
talk to people.
Days.
Yeah, open days. If different companies have got open days and stuff like that, that's a prime opportunity. Right, okay, so let's go on to the next question we've got then. Let's have a look. Okay, so it's about returns, guys. So why are returns so long-winded and difficult? Considering we spend thousands with you a month, why do you not credit us as soon as we notify you of a faulty item and then charge us if not returned with the RMA window? And I think next one goes to Elliot first.
So I agree. They're awful. I don't like returns either. I think I've probably mentioned that, right? We're dealing with hundreds, if not thousands, of returns a week, right? It's a big upheaval. And I think what's got to be understood is we're only reflecting generally the policies that we get from the vendor. So, and we have a myriad of different policies. So unfortunately, we can't get all our vendors in the room and go, can we all just have the same policy, please? So we've got, where's it going to? What do they give us what do they cover? You know, what's classed as faulty differs even from like graphics card manufacturer to graphics card manufacturer. What do you get? Is it a refurb? Is it partial credit? Is it a full credit? Is it going back to the EU? Is it in the UK? Have they got a test center? So we're trying to bring all of that together. And so what we're trying to do is do the fairest way for the customer. So the customer isn't having that. The easiest thing for us, don't deal with us, deal with the vendor directly, right? But we get, in particular in the sector, you're buying multiple things from VIP. It's far easier to do your RMAs with VIP. But what you've got to understand, unfortunately, we've still got to then follow the policy the vendor gives us. Otherwise, we end up majorly out of pocket and therefore non-competitive on price because all our margins would have to be sky high to cover every return. In terms of why we don't credit up front, if I'm being honest, it's purely an administrative piece. If we credit everyone up front and then for every return that we test and then find it's faulty or gets rejected, we have to reverse it. We end up spending half our time reversing credits. So I think it's far better for you as a customer to get the credit that you know when it's a credit as opposed to getting it and then have it reversed and then your account's a hole because you've got an unpaid invoice and then you can't get an order out of the door. We're not taking weeks. Generally, if the return comes in, we'll look at it. And as soon as we've assessed it, if we believe that either it's not no fault found, i.e. that it's not a pristine product, or that it's not got customer-induced damage, and we can tell in a fault, we will credit you immediately at that point. So you're not having to wait 2, 3, 4 weeks for a credit. But if we did it up front, I think that would cause more frustration because customers would then think they've got a credit to only find out they haven't because actually we've had to reverse it once we've got the product back. So there's not a perfect solution, and I would love returns to be easier for all of us, but it's a nice way of saying we're doing our best, but I thought I'd explain why we do it that way. I hope that helps. What I'd say with returns is always open to feedback. If there's things we're doing better, then please, fire it across to us at VIP and we can take a look. But I think we do that way, and then we'll get a lot of customers on there and going, why do we keep getting credited up front and then getting it reversed from VIP? So I don't think there is a perfect solution, if I'm being brutally honest, but I'd be happy to what the other guys have got to say on it.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. What about yourself, Victoria? What's your views on this?
Yeah, we're dealing with a myriad of vendors, and the differentiators are massive between one and another. So it is very, very difficult to kind of consolidate that and bring it into a very, very narrow band of responses. So we suffer the same issues that Elliot does. The challenge really is kind of identifying them when they become a commercial issue, again, for the vendor as well as ourselves. We worked recently with a particular vendor and we made a change in the way that we sat down with them. We explained where the challenges were for the end user, our customer, and then ourselves, and kind of walked them through the journey. When we walked them through the journey, they could identify key areas that, in fact, actually, they wasn't really sure that it was working like that. They had a difference, and as it turned out, just walking through the process, we're able to identify opportunities for improvement, which we've done with them. And that's actually benefited other people who buy from this particular brand because improvements have been made. So I think sometimes, you know what, it isn't working. Let's have a conversation about it and let's agree that we can make some changes to it. So I think it really is about looking at it and identifying where we can make improvements. It is a challenge because of all the different brands and all the variables that sit underneath. I know my team and I know others across the sector do the very, very level best with all the differentiate. I think sometimes you almost have to have a Bible of who the, what are the rules for every different vendor, and keeping on top of that can be difficult. All I would say from our perspective, we're looking at that on a regular basis to see what we can identify, shortcut, streamline. And where we can, we will make those differences, but it is a challenge for us all, accepted. Yeah, definitely.
Definitely a good answer there. Next, over to Origin. So what's your views on warranties then?
I think fortunately for us, we're only just new into this side. We're not at the level these two guys are at from the number of brands. So we've not faced as many complexities, I wouldn't say, from differing sort of warranty procedures yet. Having listened to these two guys, I'm now a little bit concerned that the more brands we take on, the more headaches we're going to get. But as it stands, our returns policies, we advance replace whenever there's a problem, no matter what it is, customer gets a new unit. We have recently, though, caveat to that, adopted a three-strike policy because we were starting to get a number of customers returning SSDs which aren't faulty, you know, no fault found, as Elliot mentioned there. And by that point, obviously in our current process, they've already had the brand new replacement. It's installed in a customer system. They don't want to send that one back. You know, that proves to be a headache. So, you know, our guys are now under instruction. If that one same customer has three of a similar problems, then they no longer get advanced replacements and they go back to return to base, you know, and then we reset that process and we go again. We then hold those returned items back in Origin, and we then return them back to the vendor wherever they may be. Holland, it seems everyone seems to be based with their various hubs for fixing things, and we want to make sure that the customer isn't out of pocket or out of product, I would say, because nothing's worse than having a customer chasing you for replacement parts. As I say, that being said, we're new to it. As we grow, we may well have to adapt that depending upon the volume that we do and the products we incur. But touch wood, returns rates seem very low across the board. So fingers crossed that stays the same.
Okay. So
can I just give a prime example of what I mean? It just came to me as the guys were talking. And in terms of the perfect solution, sorry. We've got one brand where they don't credit. Now, I suppose what I'm saying for the customers is we're pushing back on this policy. So I'm sure Victoria will say as well with some of the brands that they deal with, you know, we often deal on the better returns policy we can get as a distie, the better returns policy we have for the customer, right? So we're often pushing back. We got one of our bigger vendors that just does refurbs or replacements. There is no credit. So we generally mirror that with a customer. But what we were getting was feedback that a lot of these customers don't have a place for a refurb or a replacement product because they've already credited their end user and they might not need that product again. It's not like it's going into a system. Like if you're let's use Scan and 3XS, fine, you're always building with that part, you get it back, you put it in the next system, not a problem. But customers will complain that we don't want a replacement or a refurb, we just want a credit. So what we say is, well, we can't do that because the vendor doesn't give it us, but what we can do is give you a partial credit, and it's 60%, simply because that's what it would cost us to then take that refurb and grade it and sell it on, right? The cost of a, let's say, an eBay or whatever, and rebox it and everything else. So then what we start to do is give them the offer opportunity of either or. So you can either return it to us and we will return it to the vendor on your behalf, and then we can offer you the replacement refurb, or we can give you a 6% credit up front so you've got cash into your business and we'll deal with the replacement part. And then what you get is, because we're, why am I only getting a partial refund on this? So this is not fair. So, and then what we got is, and maybe you could have communicated better, but the point is we're trying to do a policy that doesn't just mirror the vendors, but actually gives them a choice of saying, listen, we only get this, but we get this doesn't work for you as a customer, so here's another option. And then what we get is, well, don't rip us off. You know, you're only giving a 6% credit, and that's not fair, and where's my forks? And so it's a prime example of, you try to go about things the right way, and you still find that it doesn't solve the problem. So that all comes back to the policy we've got from the vendor doesn't support the customer to the level it needs to, and that's why we push back on that. But in the meantime, you try to come up with another solution, and that bites you in the backside as well. So it's not poor me, poor me. I more just wanted to explain why it sounds easier to whitelist advanced credit, but I know that whack-a-mole, something else has come up the other side where that then doesn't work for them either. So it just struck me as an example that's come up recently that I thought,
okay. Well, I think that pretty much answers that question. Right, guys, because it's getting close to the end of the show, we're going to make these questions really quick. So let's keep them as short as possible so we can get through as many of these questions as possible. So, Jen, do you want to ask this one? What's on the screen?
How are each of the distribution companies encouraging diversity in both encouraging young people and encouraging women into the workforce?
And we'll get, I can't even remember who started on this one. I think it was Elliot. So we'll start with Victoria on this one.
Well, the diversity question, I'm really encouraged by diversity in this sector, actually. I come from a very male-orientated industry. The fire and security sector is very, very dominant at the front line with men and certainly back line with females. Having said that, I've been really encouraged by some of the more modelled environments. Many women I spoke to actually at your show last year, guys, you know, pioneers of what they're trying to do, very well educated, incredibly good at the technical side of things. I think, you know, we are doing it. I think we also always need to be mindful of it, but also, you know, as a business, we want the right people for the job as well. So I would like to see more young people come into the sector. Apprenticeships, those kind of things, which are not necessarily normal in this environment, but I think they're a vehicle for that. I also would like to see more women in that. I think if I could just direct esports, British esports, they do an awful lot of work bringing women into the esports sector. And I think it's worth looking at that and kind of mirroring some of the ideas that they have and the focus that they have in bringing women into the sector. And I think, you know, the youth drive themselves into this arena. My daughter literally has finished TikTok twice, I'm convinced of it. She's literally always got a device in her hand. She's always connected to something and someone, almost to the point where, you know, it's become part of her life. So I do think there is opportunity for us to welcome women more into our sector for sure, and certainly welcome young people into our sector as well.
Okay, that's a good answer there. And over to Origin then.
Thank you, Phil. I mean, we've already got a very good balance in the business, actually. And that's not, being completely honest, that's not through focusing on being particularly diverse, you know, going out there and making sure we've balanced that with every hire. It's been a case of hiring who the best fit for the business is at the time, given the role and the CVs, you know, the people put in front of us. And it just naturally happened that we've probably got about a 60-40 split, something like that. I would say in the business, maybe 70-30, but certainly from a young person's point of view, I think apprenticeships, as Vicky just touched on then, are really strong. The backing from the government, I was talking to a recruitment company the other day, and they're offering something around 90% of the value of an apprenticeship to train, and they train them for a year. And, you know, from a business point of view, we have to contribute that 10%, and you're getting someone that's got a 12-month in, they've been trained in, you know, in office, they've been trained in sales techniques, they've been trained in how to, you know, communicate with people and what the expectations of a real world job as well are. Because I don't think they get taught that in, you know, certainly both my boys are in secondary school and college, and you don't get that real world experience, you know, you're not taught that. So I think that's really positive that you know, they're able to do that and bring that to the table. And the more young people we can get into the business, the better. You know, I'm 42 and I feel like a dinosaur trying to talk to my kids. I thought I was quite a young dad and I'd be quite down with the kids, but apparently not. You know, my kids talk to me in a different language. So I think making sure we've got a real good breadth of age diversity in the business is key, you know, to understanding your customers and the market. So absolutely agree with that. We should do everything we can to continue to promote that.
Okay, that sounds good. And over to Elliot, a VIP about diversity.
I'll keep it short because I'm conscious of time. We've got a graduate program for our sales and purchasing team, pretty much. So I can speak from a sales perspective. I've got about 25 employees in sales, and I think all but one have come through our graduate program now, and that's been going on for, well, best part of 8 years, right? So we're seeing that come to fruition now with the majority of the team. And I know that a customer one of our sort of prominent customers referred to us as the Exertis of the North, and they meant that purely from the fact that everyone knows someone who's worked at Exertis in the channel because they're so big. And what they're finding is there's so many people now in the channel coming from VIP because we're almost the starting ground for young talent to come in, and then unfortunately they don't all stick around. So we're doing a great job of providing vendors and customers with good opportunities for young people. But yeah, it I suppose it was seen as a compliment in that we've got a lot of young people coming through our business. It's their first role coming out of uni. They learn about our sector, and then they either stay with us and work through the business, or they go on to work at vendors or customers. So I'm very confident in terms of our encouraging young people, because that's pretty much exclusively where we get most of our commercial newbies from. In terms of the women in the industry, a bit like Stuart, we're not going to positively discriminate. And I must confess, from a sales perspective, it's sales, it's computing. We traditionally get more male applicants than female. I will choose the best candidate for the job at all times. But I mean, if you look at our board, I think that pretty much sums it up. We've got 3 women and 3 men. And I'd like to think that represents us as a business as a whole, really. There's a lot of boards out there, a board of directors, that definitely aren't like that. So, yeah, that's probably my answer.
Okay, that's a good answer there. Right, we're getting really close to the end. So what I'm going to do with the last few questions, I'm going to get just one, take it random for one person to answer one question. So we've got one from Gadget Joe, if you want to read this one, Jen, for us, and pick someone to answer the question for us.
Random one. I'm a tech tuber and review a lot of hardware, much like Phil and Jenny. Would it be viable for me in the future to branch into selling items I review? Effectively, an e-store via distributor, and I'll let you answer that, VIP.
The answer is yes. As long as you're a registered business, you can sell through VIP.
Absolutely.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. That's a pretty quick answer. Best thing to do, Gadget Joe, because I know you're going to be at the event, go and talk to all these guys. They're going to be there, and they'll be able to help you out. And if you are wanting to sell online, they should be able to point in the right direction. Right, next question, Jen.
How do you work delivery charges? Do you quote per order for delivery, flat rates for all orders, or free delivery? I generally don't see a delivery charge on any of my orders, but I recently have been quoted a horrific custom delivery charge from a business disty, and I'll let you answer that, Orange.
Yeah, that's quite a complex one. I suppose it depends on the type of goods, your location. In the UK, we try and keep things as simple as we can do. We try and build carriage costs into quotes with customers. We try and give it to them as cheap as we can at all times. But I think the key thing is letting customers know what it is up front so they are aware of it. If you've been hit a horrific customs charge, I'm guessing you're seeing some sort of import in from Europe. Again, that can be a minefield. It depends on the type of products. We sell privacy screens, which have got a little bit of plastic in, and all of a sudden it's a, 7-8% duty on it that you weren't expecting, whereas computer parts don't have any. So it can be a bit tricky. I think it's just making sure everything is clear up front before you're placing that order.
Okay, that's a good one. And Jen, ask this one.
Two-part question. How can you as distributors assist the smaller businesses who are expanding their businesses, either through opening shops, offering new services, or staff recruitment? What more can distributors do to assist with the businesses who are
struggling, basically, with increased costs? And that's from William at Build IT.
And I'll let Target answer that.
Thanks, Jenny. I think from our perspective, we do know that there's a squeeze out there for a lot of people, but where we try and help our customers, and I'm not alone in this, where we try and help our customers with additional services, as you know, event networking is really useful for much smaller businesses, getting some support from others that is not related to products, not related to tech, but actually related to running a business. Wherever we can, point of sale support, that kind of thing. We always want to talk to customers that are looking to kind of diversify. We're looking at options at the moment to extend different finance options that our customers can extend to their customers. So there's lots of ways that we can help our industry. It's just, I think I've I think it might have been Elliot earlier, not one solution fits everyone. So come and talk to us. If we can help you, we certainly will. I think the networking, the continuous networking across this, we talked earlier, 136 episodes of this event that we're having tonight. These are important events. We should always keep talking and keep the dialogue and the progression in our industry moving forward. That will only help our customers as well.
Okay, that's pretty good. We've got more of a statement, if you want to read that one, Joan.
Delivery charges are increasing. How about getting manufacturer to sponsor delivery, i.e. add X pounds of products from what that manufacturer and delivery is free of charge?
It's more of a statement, really, but it's an idea for you guys to think about.
Sure, that would work. So.
Yep.
I just noticed Rich Creedy messaged in the chat saying registered in what manner, which I assume is a response to my answer before.
Okay.
So I just want to clarify, you're basically a registered business. We don't deal with end users. So if we go on company's house, you need to have a company number. It's as simple as that. That's all I mean. You don't need to be that registered, but you do need to be a registered company in the UK.
Okay, that's pretty good. So that probably goes for most as well. Let's have a look. Right, okay. If you want to read that one.
Hits had a setup for in hours. 30 minutes is a stretch, mate. Okay.
I don't know who that comment was from, but there we go.
I think I know who that's from.
So I'll let you give him a call tomorrow and have a go at him. So
I'm going to ring him tonight. I'm going to ring him in a bit.
That's it. Let's have a look. Richard Overfield, if you want to read that one, Jim.
I returned an 800-pound graphics card to a distie, and I'm waiting for credit replacement. My customer is on my back. Luckily, the failure rate is low, so it doesn't come up often.
I'd like to comment on that as well. I must admit, that's something we came across quite a lot in our store. Is a customer buys something from you, let's say it's a big gaming rig or whatever, and you build all the components and so forth, and let's just say the graphics card's faulty, you return it to the distributor, and then you have to wait 2-3 weeks for a replacement or something, or, which we had to do quite often, is buy the product again from elsewhere, and we're out of pocket, and then we end up getting a used graphics card back, let's say, 2-3 weeks later, or a refund potentially for it, which isn't always the best, because in all honesty, most people go somewhere, and let's just say with the laptop, if someone returned a laptop to you guys and had an issue with that laptop, then you've got to return it to any of you guys, and it takes you 2-3 weeks to sort it out. The customer's not going to wait 2-3 weeks. They need a laptop for doing the work, even if it's a week, if it's a few days. They need something the next day, maybe 48 hours later, and they're basically getting out of pocket themselves. Then you're looking bad, as in the actual retailer.
Try stealing that graphics card been returned to you. It's not happening. It's just going to go on the test ring bench. And pretty soon you've got a pile of graphics cards that you can't do anything but maybe put on the likes on eBay.
And then what you have the issue is then, A, as a retailer, you lose a customer. Mm-hmm. B, on top of that, you're pushing them to Amazon, where they know they'll get a replacement or a refund the same or next day, usually within 48 hours. So I know, obviously, you guys have already answered that sort of question before, but it is something that comes up a lot, especially with independents. Bigger stores can handle it. They might have 5 of each item in stock. They can just chuck one out and give another one. An independent store doesn't usually have the finances or the room to keep all that stock in. Right, let's quickly go through. Are you guys all right for another 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Not keeping you puddle past your bedtimes? Yeah, okay, let's quickly go through these questions. So this one next, Jim.
On the question of RFA, why does some not refund to a bank account or a debit card and just place on a credit in your account, especially when you already buy a replacement to keep going? I'd prefer money in my bank account. Also helps with cash flow. I got to agree with this. I said this once before when we had the store and I had the RMA, and they said, well, we'll just credit your account. I thought, well, I might not want to buy from you. But...
yeah, we only use you once every 3 months, so that's $2,000 I've suddenly got in, we can't use. So do you want to ask that question to any of them?
Yeah, how would you like to answer this, Victoria?
Yeah, I think it's a really good point, the user, Facebook user raises. I suppose it sometimes depends on how you've actually transacted in the first place. That's probably a good indicator of how you want to be treated going forward. I think sat here today, I think we would naturally put it against a credit on your account. But obviously, if that wouldn't be right for that particular customer, we'd have a conversation and we'd want to work it out. We don't want somebody to feel begrudged to have a transaction with us. We always want the best outcome, the right outcome for everyone. So it's not our normal policy, but it's certainly an observation that I'll be taking back to the office with me.
Okay, that's a pretty good one. I'll ask this next one. This is from D-Tech Steve. Oh, okay. How important do you feel it is for distribution to visit independent retail customers? I haven't seen VIP for about 8 years and I've never seen Target. Hits is a regular, and that's from D-Tech Steve, who says, I must admit, I agree with that one. I'm not going to say who it is, but most people will know. Out of all these people, we've only had one of these people on the show actually visit us. No?
Target came to our store once.
Oh, in the store, yeah. But I mean, the actual studio. But yeah, I get what you mean. So yep. some again, it's to visit everyone around
right
the country
now,
is hard.
There's TFT Hits sitting there. I did come down and we held a meeting around the human resources area.
Yeah. Been a couple of times, actually, haven't you, Hits? Right, well, as we're talking about Hits, go on, Hits, you can answer this question. How important do you feel it is for distributors to visit independent retail customers, considering you seem to be doing a lot of it?
I mean, on my point, I mean, it's always great to visit the customer to see what they're doing, see what their model is about, see what brands they're looking into, see if there's any brands, any new coming brands that would be of interest to them. I mean, we're launching a couple of new brands ourselves, which I won't be able to mention due to NDA, but to getting the testing sent out of these new brands that we're going to be launching is very, very important that we actually get out there to see our customers. Also, I think the customer relationship on point of a distributor to see the customer face-to-face is very, very important. I mean, back in the days working for Gigabyte, I was going out to see a lot of customers. Even my previous employment, I was seeing a lot of customers as well. And I continue planning doing that as well now in where I am here. And I think the customer, you know, service levels has to be on par from us as distributors, especially from any of all the distributors that are on the show tonight. But again, it's very, very important to go wherever you can to make sure the customers feel special in terms of providing POS for them, you know, doing shop dresses like I've done in the past with Gigabyte, and just making sure that if a customer needs you, you're on the phone. If you're not in front of them, they feel confident to, oh, Hits will come and sort this out for me. Again, you know, Phil, I've come to visit you in Chipped when you was had your shop as well. And I think it's very, very key to make sure that it is continued, you know, as a business as well.
Yeah, definitely a good response there. And just to stick up for
Absolutely.
The others, or at least Target, we have actually been to see Target as well.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure they have the doors open. Well, I'm not going to say that, but I'm pretty sure VIP is the same as well, that they're welcome, obviously, people if they're in their area as well. So,
I'd just add in, we've got probably the best part of 600-700 customers on a regular basis around the country. So invariably, it's difficult to visit all of them. We do customer visits. What I would say is we don't have any individual body who's responsible for just touring the country. So generally, it means we're taking the account manager out. So two of our guys, James and Nigel, who some of the guys in the chat may well be managed by, were out visiting the likes of G2 and Opsys the other week. So exactly that they visited as well. So, and they were down south. So we're not against going out and doing customer visits. It's just about that person going out of the office for a day. And then I get the other accounts moaning that they're not getting the same level of service. It's about balancing that. But Steve, we're more than happy to come up to Carlisle, mate. If you want to get in touch with us, or we'll get one of the guys out, or I can come out and visit you. No problem at all. We'd love to.
That's good.
That is from our perspective as well. sorry, Phil, yep. from a Target perspective, it is something that I'm really focused on this year. My first year at Target, unfortunately, I broke my elbow in a number of places, so that removed my driving ability for a considerable period of time. So I think, you know, our event that we hold each September is an opportunity for us to kind of share with our customers a bit of time and some networking with them, but we should do more. I would definitely agree with that.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. And I must admit, we need to do more of that, visit people as well.
We
have got one set up, actually, which is to do with the next question, actually, if I'm right, where we are actually visiting someone shortly. And this question, and then going to call this the last question of the night. Yeah. We'll let everyone have a chance to it. Can from Canny Clever... Ken from Canny Clever is asking what support for new stores. So let's just start off with VIP Elliot. If you want to start us off on that one,
the new stores.
So I'm guessing. I know for a fact he's opening a new store.
Yeah,
rather than replacing his old one with a new one, basically.
Perfect. So I mean, we do a load of stuff. Really, we've got in-store POS. We've got obviously a very broad product portfolio, so if that means diversifying into new product ranges, we can support with that. We've obviously got market insight, so we've got an idea of what's working elsewhere. So we'd definitely be keen to understand what the expectation for the new store is. Is it purely a replication of the previous one, or is it maybe diversifying what you're doing? And if so, is there anything we can do on that side? We don't have MOQs, we don't have minimum order quantities, we do free delivery of £500. So, you know, all of those things, whether it's SOR, for instance, to help get off the ground. If you want to work with us on, listen, I can't afford to bring in stock to get out the store, but can I look at either a call-off order setup or a sale or return where I'll work with you guys and we can ship stock out and give it there for 3 months to test the waters and see what works and what doesn't. I mean, all of these things are options, really. So I think the most important thing for us would be get in touch, give us some indication as to what the expectation, the plans are, and then let's work together on how we can support you best. But yeah, there's a number of different things I've mentioned there, and all of those are a possibility, really.
Sorry, I was muted there. What about yourself, Victoria?
Sorry, I was just going to say, yeah, it's really interesting and encouraging to see new businesses or a business develop and grow. We do lots of things with our customers. In-store PC Builder is a great tool for people to use. But also when with new stores, you know, we want to kind of support. We have retail ready. Sorry, I think I'm gone past 1 o'clock now. I think that's what I'm waiting for. I think from my perspective, having products that are retail ready that can help our customers to have some uniformity and actually present to the wider world as a much bigger brand and a trusted brand on the high street, they're all tricks that I'm sure we all employ in this arena to kind of support our customers. So any of the things that Elliot mentioned, for sure, but actually I think we can all do better at supporting our customers. I think we all do a very credible job in the industry, but I think the key is, what do you want? Come and talk to your preferred partners. What do you want? And we will invariably deliver against it.
Okay, that sounds pretty good. And over to Origin.
Yeah, I think the same thing the other two guys have said, really. First thing that came into my mind was, yeah, sale or return. You know, absolutely, it's a new store. If it's a brand new store, they've not got any history before that. As Elliot said, using the knowledge we've got of other customers, what they're typically buying, giving them stock they haven't got to pay for up front until they've sold it. You know, those sorts of things are very easy to achieve. You know, we operate full EDI and FTP feeds as well on stock. So, you know, if needs be, we can deliver that into a shop and they can have those products listed on their, you know, in their store, and we can deliver them next day for someone to try and broaden their range a little bit if they haven't got a big physical space to have a lot of breadth and choice. And then I think, yeah, extended credit facilities as well, just trying to work with the customer when they're opening that store up, trying to extend those credit terms as much as we can, because cash flow is going to be tricky if they're putting a lot of investment into the shop itself, and just helping them as much as we can, like Victoria said, really.
Okay, I think that pretty much covers it. Right, guys, we're going to call it there. We're a little bit over, about 15 minutes. We don't want to keep Victoria away from her wine too much because we don't know what's going to happen. So on the screen and also in chat, you'll probably see it. I've put in the websites for obviously Origin, VIP and Target. Basically, Origins, if you're listening, is originstorage.com. targets is targetcomponents.co.uk, and VIP is vip-computers.com. You can put /UK on the end if you really want to, but I'm pretty sure it'll take you there anyway. But there we go. So I'd just like to say thank you, obviously, everyone for watching. But obviously, especially thank you to Elliot, obviously the guys at Origin, and Victoria at Target for joining us. It's been a pleasure having you on. I hope you've all had a pleasant night, and you're looking forward to your wine and beers afterwards.
Thank you, guys.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Sir Jenny.
Yeah, thank you for having us on the show. It's been amazing, and we'll see you all at TechMax.
That's it. We're also going to be having a show like this at TechMax called Battle of the Distributors. I'm pretty sure these distributors will want to take part, as they usually do. So if you want to come, obviously, to TechMax, there are free tickets available. I know the advert says from 99p, but there are some from free tickets still available. So obviously, pick up the free ticket. It's worth it. 107 exhibition slots. You won't get anything like it, especially for our trade. You get to see all your distributors and vendors all under one roof, basically, and it is one roof, one huge, massive room. Well, it should be fun, and that's 21st. That's it, and that's on the 21st of June. So, right, guys, I'm going to leave it there.